You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. We're back. And tonight, I'm going to mix episode 600, and then we will be back on track. Finally. Finally.
Finally.
So, Em, what's going on? What's happening?
Lots of exciting stuff. I had my first doctor's appointment since 2019, which was very exciting. I think it went okay. I think it went all right.
Was the doctor cool?
Yeah.
Male or female doctor?
Male.
How old?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Well, 30, I don't 40, know. 50, 60, 70?
Not 70. Older, but not very elderly. Not elderly, but so, older.
So probably fatherly, fatherly, not grandfatherly, you're saying?
Sure.
As a woman, is it weird to have a male doctor? See, if I was a woman, I think I wouldn't want a male doctor.
It doesn't really matter to me, because it's just like, you know, it's the same like person I've been going to since I was like born, basically. Mm-hmm. He delivered me. So it's one of those things where it's just like normal.
I'm trying to think, if I had a female doctor, how would I feel about that?
You'd probably feel okay, because it's it's a medical professional. Like, they've seen everything before. They're not going to be like... Mm.
As an attorney, sometimes people do get embarrassed. I'm like, listen, you don't need to be embarrassed. Like, I did bankruptcy for like 3 or 4 years when I first started doing law. Like, I've seen everything. There's nothing you can show me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, I can't believe, like, that's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think I wouldn't want a female doctor. I think I wouldn't. Not that I think a female doctor wouldn't be good. I think a female doctor would be equally as good as a male, or even better. But I think it'd be weird. Like, what if it's a hot doctor? You know what I mean?
Oh my god!
I got a problem on my hands. You know what I mean? And then I can't be honest either. You know what I mean? You know? So.
Oh yeah, I never do anything.
So
no.
So I don't know. I honestly I want my doctor to be like an old Italian dude. They're always the best. That smokes. That doctor there is. You know? Is your doctor an old Italian dude that smokes?
No, unfortunately. Well, no.
Is he Italian?
I don't think so.
What's his last name? But I'm okay. Last name.
Yeah, no, we're not going there.
Is his last name Italian sounding?
No.
No. Okay, fair enough.
No, not Italian. But I had a friend who, her dentist was an old Eastern European gentleman who wore like wooden like heeled shoes, so he'd like clack everywhere and stuff, and she's like, he was the best dentist I've ever had. But yeah,
strangely, I always struggle with dentists. I never really like them. The best dentist that I've ever had was actually like my one of my best friends' wife's friends, my best friend's wife's friend's brother, who was like 26, and the guy was actually like a fantastic dentist, like fantastic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so anyways, so yeah, doctors, you need them.
Yeah, you do. You got to make sure everything's working properly.
Yeah, I would feel weird about going to a female dentist. I mean, female dentist, I wouldn't care. You know, female dentist is fine. Yeah.
What's wrong with a female dentist?
Yeah, I'm like some obscure, like not obscure, like some super orthodox religion. No female can touch my teeth, you know. No, a female dentist, I've had female dentists, and actually my oral surgeon is female, and she's fine. She's great. No, I would feel weird about a female doctor. I would feel weird about that. Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. What if it was an old Italian female doctor who smokes?
That's like the worst. You know, I lay looking at my junk. No, thank you, Em. No, thank you. You know? So.
Oh my God. That'd be so funny. Like,
what if she's super hot, you know?
An old Italian female doctor. She has lived through 7 world wars.
Wait, welcome to the Punk News Podcast. Speaking of people that lived through 7 World Wars, I'm going to be real brief about this. I saw the Rolling Stones on Tuesday. They were freaking awesome. It's the first, like, huge show I've been to in a long time, man. I'm trying to think of the last time I went. Well, I saw Judas. Well, I did see Judas Priest about 3 or 4 months ago, but that was only about 15,000 people, not 60,000 people. And there definitely is a big difference in scale there. You know what I mean? It was really cool. And then, like, outside the venue, it's like an event. You see thousands and thousands of people in like Rolling Stone shirts. You see the bootleg shirt sellers, the pretzel sellers. And weirdly, and a lot of times you go to like, especially sporting events, but a lot of times you go to big events, people are kind of dicks, and everybody was totally cool. Like
Oh,
everybody was cool.
nice.
I didn't see any dicks at all. Maybe it's because the stones are so old, so it really might be the last time. So like everyone's like, this is great. We're gonna get to see him one more time, you know? Like
Yeah.
everyone was all, or maybe it's because like beer inside the venue now was like $18 or something,
Oh,
which
Jesus.
if it was anything else but beer, I'd be furious about. But it's been in Philadelphia, it has been proven by the not sports shows, sports games
Sports
and other
shows.
stuff that like Philadelphia, the Eagles used to be like a dangerous place. Like there was constant brawls,
Right.
constant. They raised the price of alcohol by like double. It immediately cut the violence down to like one third or less. You know what I mean?
Oh,
And
wow.
that's probably a big part of it. But everyone was there to have a good time. By a random chance that M knows, my $150 seats got upgraded to $600 seats, which was crazy good luck. So I was actually pretty close, but not ultra close. And M, I gotta say, it was cool to get
Yes.
like a free upgrade, but don't ever buy $600 tickets. It's like not worth it. Like, I mean, I got them for. Not for, I got him for $150. You know what I mean? But like
Yeah.
I was like, if I had spent $600 for that, I probably would have been bummed out. You know what I mean? Like I was close, but not like I was like I feel like if you're paying $600, you should be like right there, and I wasn't right there. You know what I mean? So
For sure.
the point I'm saying is my $600 tickets were not four times better than my $150 tickets. They were maybe twice as good, you know. So anyways, though
Yeah.
the Stones now, of course, Charlie Watts has passed away, RIP. So it's Mick, Keith, Ron, Daryl Jones on bass, a great new singer on backup vocals. I forgot her name, like Charmaine or something like that. Tim Reese on sax, on drum is Steve Jordan, Keith Richards guy, and I'm forgetting the piano player, Tim Fowler. No. That's trombone or whatever. I forgot what's the name of
That's one of the horns.
the guy on the keyboard. What's his name? Crap, he's been with the band forever. Oh well, I might think of it.
I'm not
Anyways,
sure.
Mick sounded amazing. Keith actually sounded really, really good. The band sounded great as a whole. They played a bunch of semi rarities like Monkey Man. They did. Let me think. What else was kind of rare? She's a Rainbow. They did. Let me think. What else? And also Keith Richards usually does like two songs, but for some reason, and he did a three song mini set. He did one of the new ones. He did a little TNA, and he did Happy. What was really cool is like Mick Jagger is still the same Mick Jagger since like 1988, not the 70s or the 60s, but like since 1988, it's been the same guy. Keith Richards pretty much too, and Ronnie Wood pretty much too.
Sure.
Like the way they play, the way they sound, the way they look more or less. And it was just totally rad. And like I haven't been to a big concert like that Stones in a while. I'm trying to think of the last big concert I went to like that. Been a long, long time. But and in punk, people kind of hate big shows, and actually, big shows kind of aren't the greatest, but sometimes it's pretty awesome. And the Stones were just totally awesome, totally great. T-shirts, $50 each, a little high.
A little
But
high.
I did get one
Does
because
it look cool?
it does because it says Philadelphia right on it, so it's like a memento, you know.
Oh, nice.
And like I told M, someone found Ronnie Wood's
Yes.
guitar pick and gave it to me, which was pretty cool. And
Very
so yeah,
cool.
so anyways, go see the Stones. They're awesome. Will it be the last time? Who knows, Em? Who knows? Em, do you think it's gonna be last do you think this is the last time, Em?
No, I don't think so. I think there's going to be at least two more. I think they have at least two more in the tank.
Well, I'm all for it. Oh, while I was in the merch line, some lady pointed out something that no one has realized so far. And so the album is called Hackney Diamonds. Not a great title, though the album is actually really good, especially Side B. The
Oh, good.
tours, so the album is called Hackney Diamonds, right? The
Yes.
tour is 24 karat diamonds. And do you get the problem there?
Diamonds are not measured in carats.
Well, they are.
Oh, gold is not measured in carats.
No, gold is, it's 24 karat gold is pure gold. Like a 1 karat diamond is like really big. A 5 karat diamond is like the biggest diamond in the world. The marketing team, whoever they are, confused diamonds with gold. It doesn't
Oh,
make any
got
sense. It doesn't make any sense. And like
That's
I didn't even
funny.
realize this. And this lady's behind me. She's like, 24 karat is gold, not diamonds. I turn around and I said to her, "You know, you're right." You know? So like this passed by
Funny.
dozens, if not hundreds of people and thousands of fans, and no one realized it except for this lady. So
Was
anyways,
a good catch. She
it
should
was
get
good
something
catch.
for that. She
She
should be
should.
part of the marketing team.
She should. Anyways, listen, the Stones are rad. You should go see them. I think they're only halfway through the tour, so you can go see them. Coming up soon on the Punk News podcast next week, John Jughead of Screeching Weasel on his own band now, and then after
Oh
that, the X Cops. So we got that coming up on the podcast, and we're already
yeah.
late, so
Exciting.
let's get started, Em. Speaking of jam ups.
News.
There was a
Yes.
big jam up after No Values Fest. Of course, No Values Fest was the Golden Voice version of Punk Rock Bowling as seen through the Cold World lens, where
World.
Misfits headlined, and along with Social Distortion. Which, M, explain to me how Social Distortion headlines with, like, is Social Distortion that big? Like,
Play very much.
I thought Social Distortion was like one step below Rancid, but somehow they're headlining with Misfits. Makes no sense to me. They're over Iggy Pop, they're over Turnstile. Anyway, so it was this massive festival, one day across four stages, and online, if you were in the Punk Rock Bowling Facebook group and the recently created No Values Facebook group, there was this weird thing where, like, people were picking sides and being like, Punk Rock Bowling is the best. No Values is gonna suck. And if you were like, no, Punk Rock Bowling sucks, No Values rules. And it's
Oh my God. No
like I
Values
think,
hasn't even happened.
but well, I thought that was so weird that it's like people are like picking like sports teams, and it's like you're arguing which company you want to give your money to more. You know, it's like what a weird thing to be loyal to, you know what I mean? Or even compare, you know? But like,
Yeah.
listen, Punk Rock Bowling, it was freaking awesome, but it's a business. I have no loyalty to Punk Rock Bowling. I don't, if anything, they owe me because I gave them money, you know? So
For
I'm not,
sure.
it's like, it's weird how people will pick teams and divide themselves over anything, and you know what I mean? Like it's so, I mean, that story is as old as time itself. And that, like, how many religions are there where it's basically the exact same religion with one slight difference, and the people wage a holy war against each other? It's like, no, we think you should wear green shoes on Tuesday. They're like, no, you should wear green shoes on Wednesday. We need to kill each other. You know what I mean? So I find it so odd that people are like assigning loyalty to corporate companies. You know what I mean? You know.
Yeah,
So
it's
anyways.
really weird.
I mean, I like Coke way better than Pepsi, but if someone's like, I love Pepsi, I wouldn't be like, you're an idiot. You know, like I don't care. Like, what do I care if someone likes Pepsi? You know what I mean? Anyways. So anyways, while Punk Rock Bowling pretty much got universal acclaim this year, or if not universal acclaim, at least most of that thumbs up, No
Yes.
Values was very mixed response. Some of the I guess annoyances were it was four stages, and basically, except for the absolute headliners, Stooges and Misfits, you could only see about half of the 30-minute set of any band you wanted to see because there were so many conflicts, you know.
Oh, that sucks.
So like Dead Milkmen only played for 30 minutes, but you could only see for like 15 minutes, you know. Which, I mean, I always find it kind of weird that they'll fly a band across the country to play for a half hour. I always wonder what the band thinks of that. You know, I remember when the Coat Hangers played Punk Rock Bowling, they flew from Atlanta, you know, to Las Vegas, and they played for 20 minutes. And I'm like, I wonder what
Oh,
that feels like. You know what I mean? Anyways,
definitely.
also apparently the food was ridiculously expensive. Basically, if you wanted to get like lunch, which there's nowhere else to get food but there, you were looking at
Yeah.
about $40 for lunch, which is kind of obscene. Like
Oh, that's ridiculous.
$20 hamburgers, $18 slices of pizza, like $7 cans of soda, you know.
That's so stupid.
Unlike Punk Rock Bowling, and who I've taken some $2 sodas, man, can't
Oh
argue with that. You know, $20 dinners, you know, not cheap but reasonable, at least for a fat, you know, 40, 50, kind of unreasonable. Some guy bought a cheese quesadilla and a soda, and it was like $25, and
my God.
it looked like someone took a slice of Kraft cheese and threw it between
Ew.
two, like, you know, 8 cent tortilla shells. You know what I mean? It was pretty rough. But on the other hand,
No.
I don't want to be totally negative. Apparently Misfits were awesome, and apparently Iggy was mind-blowing, and I'm still kicking myself for not going to see Iggy at Punk Rock Bowling like 4 or 5 years ago. But apparently everyone is pretty much saying Iggy won No Values, which I think is pretty cool because Iggy is competitive. And so, you know, and Iggy is not comfortable with being labeled punk. He said multiple times he doesn't like being called punk. So I do like
Right.
he's on the punk fest, and he's like, I'm going to show everyone how it's done because I'm Iggy Pop. And he's like 76 or whatever he is. You know what I mean? That's crazy. So
He's the
anyway,
best.
Iggy is the man. So apparently Iggy totally destroyed and everyone thought. And honestly, Iggy should have headlined. I mean, I adore the Misfits. I adore the Misfits. I'm a huge Danzig fan. I never stop talking. But as far as headliners, it's got to be Iggy because he's one of the main progenitors. You know what I mean? Like, Iggy's got
Oh,
to
of
be at the top.
course.
And it's not like people are going to leave before Iggy. You know what I mean? It's like, no one's like, oh, I saw Social Distortion. I'm not going to stay for Iggy Pop. You know what I mean? So, I wonder if the Misfits headlined because the Misfits demanded it as part of the contract. Or because they're more quote punk than Iggy. Like, why do you think Iggy didn't headline him?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm actually not sure. I don't know, because I was gonna say, well, maybe they thought the Misfits would be more of a draw, but it's like
They probably are. Well, they probably are on you. Actually, I got here's
it's hard
why.
to say.
Misfits play 20, 30, 40,000 seaters. You know, Iggy does 5,000 seaters. So that's the answer, isn't it? You know what I mean? So,
Probably.
do I,
I mean,
but
they'd
on the
both be really cool to see.
but on the other hand, is festivals can get kind of wonky. I mean, in a good way, in that like Iggy by himself will draw 5,000 people, but
Yes.
Iggy at a festival can be seen as something special that everyone has to see. You know what I mean? Like
Oh,
you
of course.
like sometimes festivals can have that effect. At any rate, the other main complaint is M. You know the answer. How long do you think people were waiting to park?
Over 3 hours.
Over and not just one person, hundreds and or thousands of people waiting to
Oh.
park 3 hours. They missed a bunch of the early sets. And the only reason is because No Values was not adequately prepared to handle the traffic flow. I gotta say, Em, when you're dropping $300, $400, $500 on a single show for one day,
Oh,
I
that's
think
right.
I think you're owed that they have all that shit worked out. Like, that's why you're paying a premium value, right? I mean,
Of
this is not a
course.
basement gig. This is not summer soiree, you know, where it's just wacky and thrown together. Like, you know, Golden Voice is extremely corporate because they're owned by AAG, Philip Ann Schultz. So they should have their shit together. You know what I mean? And
Oh, 100%.
they totally didn't. And they gouged people right and left. So that's kind of not cool. I was wondering, like, something just wasn't sitting right to me about No Values, and I couldn't decide why. And I think it's just because, and here's why. I'm like, why is No Values bugging me to a degree? Like, why am I so? I mean, I love the bands on No Values. I love Mistress. I love Iggy Pop, Damned, Ceremony, Dead Milkmen, so many cool bands. You know, I'm like, why am I so bugged by this? And I think it's because Punk Rock Bowling is run by the Stern Brothers or one Stern Brother, and they come from a punk background and they understand punk. Whereas Golden
Yes.
Voice, that used to be punk back in the 80s, but it hasn't since 2010 because it sold out to Coachella, is it's strictly a monetization flow, you know? Now,
Oh,
don't get
yeah.
me wrong, the Punk Rock Bowling guys are doing it because they want money, and I don't blame them. But there is still some, you can tell, and we've talked about this before with Bandcamp when it was sold,
Yes.
is that like, even though it's being done for money, the person that invents it has some sense of pride in his product. You know what I mean? Like, he has a vision or she has a vision and she wants to create something cool. You know what I mean?
Oh,
No
of
value.
course.
No, they don't care if it's cool or if it's not. They just want money. You know what I mean? I mean, look how terrible this poster. This poster is horrible. You know what I mean?
Wait, does it still have that one band blacked out?
No, I forget, it doesn't. I forget who the band. It was somebody. Oh, it was no, I was gonna say it's Joyce Manor, but it wasn't Joyce Manor. I don't know
It
who it
was
was. It was
Joyce Manor?
no, it wasn't. It
Oh.
was let's see here. I'll see if I can pull it up.
It's funny, I searched for it and all the ones coming up have it blacked out.
Let's
That's
see.
terrible.
It was a oh yeah, it's still blacked
Oh,
out
is this
there.
new? Nope, that one's not new. The
And it,
hell?
and it, well, at
Sorry.
any rate, like that's what was bugging me about No Values. And also, I'm thinking,
Yes.
why are they packing this all into? Oh, here it is. Oh, it's the Garden. Actually, the Garden kicks ass. I take back everything I
Oh,
said. The Garden's
that's
freaking awesome.
cool.
Oh, and Steve Vai of Crass played, which was well awesome. Apparently,
Yeah.
that set was like super good too. Which honestly, like. I saw Steve Ignorant in Philly and I dug it, but a lot of people thought it was okay. But everyone in Nova Valley said the Steve Ignorant set was amazing. So that's cool. At
That would
any
be
rate,
fun.
it bugs me how it bugs me how that they're gouging you at every single step. Parking, food, whatever, you know what I mean? But here's what really annoys me is there was a lot of complaints about no values. But do you think they're going to do it again next year? And do you think they're going to sell out again next year?
Oh, easy, hands
Right.
down.
So they have no reason to improve themselves, which that's what's most annoying to me is they. I mean, it was kind of a ripoff in the sense that like there's so many things bad about it. You know what I mean? And it's not going to
Yeah.
hurt them at all. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, it's
whatever.
just gonna be like, so what?
Yeah.
Like,
Right.
big deal.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, I don't know why I don't know why I'm kissing the behind of Punk Rock Bowling so much, but I guess because I had a great time and it was extremely well done. So maybe I should. I mean, I take it back. Anytime I throw a show and I feel it was awesome, I do appreciate when people say, "Hey man, good job." So Punk Rock
Yeah.
Bowling this year did a great job, and so they did do a better job than No Values. Even though may argue that the No Values lineup is a little bit better, maybe, but like, is it better if you only get to see 15 minutes of Dead Milkmen? You know what I mean? So,
And even then.
and also, and one last thing, I thought this was pretty cool. Weirdly, they had the Cro-Mags open the whole thing, which I thought there was a lot of bands that should have been below the Cro-Mags, you know what I mean? But Harley Flanagan, instead of being insulted, like he is a smart guy. His position was, no, they're not opening No Values, they're kicking it off. And they're there to like set the tone, which I thought that was like a really cool way to approach it. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like you're the first thing people see. Like it's a good thing.
So anyways, I often say, oh, well, maybe I'll fly out. And this one I was considering. And I'm glad I didn't. It kind of sounded like, I mean, a lot of it was really awesome, but it sounded like a lot of it kind of sucked too. You know what I mean? So.
Well, yeah, like especially if you can't bring your own like food and water in or whatever and you're outside for like
Punk
how
Rock
many
Bowling,
hours?
M, free water or $2 bottles. Can't argue with that. You can't argue with that.
No, like that is how you do it right. Because it's like, okay, like you said, when you were talking about it, it's if somebody goes down because you're dehydrated, like the festival can just say, well, we tried to make sure you were healthy. And in this case, it's like, oh yeah, you can die. We don't care.
Well, that's I agree. Like I would be so worried if I was doing a festival. That's I'd be so worried about the liability. Like I can only imagine it being on the witness end. They're like, you mean water was only $7 each, and you had to wait in a long line, and you might not even get it. You know, whereas I was like, yeah, there was as much water as you wanted right there in that giant jug, and it was even cooled. You know what I mean? Like, and
Yeah.
how much money are they really making off water at $7 a bottle? A lot, you know. But still, like, I
But
don't know,
still.
man. Like the constant gouging at something like No Value, it's a real bummer. Like
Yeah.
it takes away from the fun a lot, you know.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
So
like
anyways, oh, go ahead, Em.
oh, well, you've waited in your car for like over 3 hours. You've missed half the
Brutal.
bands you wanted to see. The lineups for the bathroom are probably terrible. And then you're like
Punk
hungry.
Rock Bowling,
You're
Em. They had those mobile airports
Oh
out there. They're
yes.
on the back of a truck. They just back it up, and there you go. You got an airport bathroom right there, Em. It was
Fancy
so. It
bathroom.
was so well done, and it really was so well done, you know?
Oh, like it's a class act, right? Like they've done it how long? They know what they're doing.
Do you have any comments on the 3-hour parking jam or anything like that?
Oof. Well, I agree with you because it's like you're paying so much money to go. That shouldn't even be a worry, you know? And then the people who are like, oh yeah, well, I heard about it on like the radio station or whatever, and I parked somewhere else and I walked there or
Yeah.
whatever. It's like, again, you shouldn't have to do that. You've paid a lot for your ticket. And I don't know, it bothers me because that's going to color your whole day. You know, you're missing bands. You need to go to the bathroom. You need to like eat. You need to drink, all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, well, why did I spend this money to go do this when I can't really even enjoy it? And then getting out of that parking lot would have been an absolute mess. I don't even want to know how long like people were waiting to get out.
Good point. Good point. But what do they care? Em, it's going to sell out next year, no matter what. So what do they care? What do they care?
Yeah, it's like they're not gonna fix anything. They
They probably
should fix stuff, but like they're probably not gonna.
They'll probably fix parking a little bit because they probably get are getting some grief from the city, you know.
Oh, true.
But you know, is food going to be not $40? No. Are tickets going to not be $350, $500? No. You know, are you going to be able to see the entire set? No. And one last thing that will move along is I was thinking is like, why do they make this one day instead of like 3 days? And I'm an idiot. I realize why. Do you know why?
Because it would cost more to rent a place for 3 days
Yeah,
than
exactly.
one.
So yet again, they're like F the fans. Like they don't realize they're going to not get to see the whole thing. We'll just squeeze everything in. Like their costs hypothetically are one third punk rock bowling, but they're making more money than punk rock bowling because tickets are more expensive. You know what I mean? So it's
Oh,
like
100%.
that's why. So it's a purposefully shitty experience, and I'm so fed up with that like mentality. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. Like it used to be, you know, you get a fair product or a fair service for a fair price or whatever. And now everything is gouging and sneaky and not quite what it is. It bums me out. Anyway, punk rock bowling was rad. I guess I am picking sides. I'm picking punk rock bowling. It was great. It was just so much fun. Anyways, speaking of giant festivals and
Oh,
a
yes.
little bit of news and some more drama with another festival.
Heck yeah.
Riot Fest, the annual Chicago festival, has announced its 2024 lineup. People were freaking out over this lineup, even at Punk News,
Yeah,
and I was like,
totally.
well, there's some cool acts there, but like I'm not freaking out over this at all, you know. The headliners: Fall Out Boy, Beck, Pavement, Slayer, Offspring, Saint Vincent, and Rob Zombie. And when are
Hell
people like
yeah.
freaking out over Rob Zombie? And
Because
like,
Rob Zombie's good.
Rob Zombie sucks. I
Rob
can't.
Zombie's great.
Boo, boo,
Yay.
boo.
Yay. We're team Rob Zombie over here.
We a team anti
I
Rob Zombie over here.
am.
Public Enemy, Bright Eyes, Sublime, Dr. Dog, the Marley Brothers doing Bob. Talking about riding off your dad's coattails forever. I mean, ugh.
Well, they have original stuff too.
No, yeah, but this set is all Bob Marley. And yes, I've seen several
Oh,
Marley Brothers
okay.
M. It's mostly not original stuff. And if we just look at the original stuff, they would be okay. They would not be as great as many other reggae acts. You know what I mean? I'm so sick of the
Fair
Marleys
enough.
getting everything all the time. You know what I mean? Spoon, Manchester Orchestra, Sum 41, Tierra Whack, Beach Bunny, Newfound Glory, NOFX. I mean, I'm not wowed at all yet, Em. I mean, because he's Slayer, but Slayer is so tainted now because it's clear they hate each other and they're just doing it for
Yeah.
the money, you know. Public Enemy, I mean, I like Public Enemy a lot, but Chuck D annoys me now. Man Magan, Mastodon, Hot Mulligan, State Champs, LS Dunes, The Hives, Suicidal
Woo.
Tendencies, Gwar, Poison the Well, Rival Sons, Descendants. Here we go. Now we're getting good. Circle Jerks, Pennywise, Lawrence Arms, Buzzcocks. Well, Buzzcocks, but it's not even with the Buzzcocks anymore. You know what I mean? It's one Buzzcock.
Yeah.
Large Anne Grace with Catbike doing all Operation Ivy and a Dead Milkman. And honestly, I don't know. Dead Milkmen are both at no values, and this are so far down the list. If I was their manager, I'd be like, you know what? We got to be a little bit higher. Like, even if our set time's the same, we got to be a little bit higher on this. You know what I mean? Like, Dead Milkmen definitely should get more respect than they get. And I think it's because they never really had a huge falling out or a huge breakup. They just kind of stopped performing, and they're all nice, and that's the truth. Like, I think
Right.
they should be higher than Suicidal Tendencies. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Or
yes.
higher than Lawrence Arm. I mean, I'm not even anti Lawrence Arm, but you know, just Dead Milkman should be higher than Face to Face or Lawrence Arms or a Buzzcock, maybe, you know, or Dylan
The
DeFore. Anyways,
single Buzzcock.
bunch of bands are playing, and so anyways, but I guess the big news is the event after. It wasn't always at Douglas Park, but it's been there for like 20 years or so. It's
Yep.
moving from Douglas Park to some sports stadium or something. And it's 3 days long. Oh, SeatGeek Stadium, or I don't even know where. Bridgeview, Illinois. Oh, instead of Chicago. How do you like that? So, anyways, kind of, I guess, surprisingly, Riot Fest issued a statement that basically said, we really wanted to have it at Douglas Park, but the city officials are terrible and they don't want to have it there and they're impossible to work with. So we just can't do it because they're too difficult to work with. Not directly saying, but implying a lot of things, you know?
Oh, and the like, they don't care about you. They don't care about the community.
And so then
It's like, whoo.
the park district issued a statement. The Chicago Park District has learned indirectly that organizer Riot Fest have said they did not intend to go forward with their event at Douglas Park this summer. Well, you knew that months ago. The permit application for the event has not been withdrawn. In fact, it's currently pending approval by the blah blah blah. This approval process was established 2 years ago for special events, blah blah blah. And it's a bunch of I mean, it's just generic stuff, you know what I mean? For large-scale events, our top priority is to minimize the impact on the community, protect our park assets, and ensure the organizers are planning a safe and well-organized event, blah blah blah. It's just kind of generic, you know.
This isn't in their statement, but it's in the news article. But apparently there were petitions from like the people who lived around there to get Riot Fest moved.
Interesting. But not Lollapalooza?
No, just Riot Fest.
That's interesting, isn't it? However, I'm not an LNI attorney licensing and inspection by any means, but I have had a taste, not through law, through other things, of LNI in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, Chicago are probably kind of similar. Chicago might even be worse than Philadelphia, and that there's a lot of hands at work. Not all hands are on the level. And some people play dirty. And just because there might be reports of a place being too loud or a venue being open after a certain period of time doesn't mean that it's actually coming from the community. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dirty dogs at work. And sometimes the dirty dogs at work because someone else doesn't like you and they want to cause you problems because they feel like they should be the only cat in town. Or sometimes there's dirty dogs at work because they want to, you know, get their beak wet, you know. I'm using as many animal metaphors as I can. And so just because something seems to be what it is in something like this doesn't mean that's actually what it is. It could be an entirely different force at work. And I got to be a little vague because I don't want to get hit with a defamation lawsuit, but you can get what I'm saying. So I think that's what's going on here. Is I either some official has some idea that I'm the boss and I need to, you know, or maybe somebody wants a little special treatment or something and they're not getting it, you know, or they've been getting it, but they want even more. You know what I mean? And I know for a fact that a lot of artists don't play Philadelphia because there's so many hoops you have to jump through because everyone's got their hand out, even kind of legally, if you will, you know, so they just play New Jersey instead and like Scranton, you know, instead of Philadelphia because everyone's got to get their taste. And so, to a degree, that kind of is why there's no longer a punk rock bowling Asbury Park because everyone has their hands out. You know, everyone's got, I have to control this. I have to control that. So I get the feeling that certain people probably wanted a taste, even from a legal way, but, you know, I need to get my tax in, you know.
Right.
And so they were like, well, you know what? We don't need this headache and we can move it. Which is I would be interested to see what the local businesses have to say, because usually local businesses like these kinds of things because it's an economic boost, you know. But then on the other hand, I'll use another example. Some businesses down like the beach don't like these kind of special events because the crowds are too rowdy and they destroy property. So we'll never really know what's going on. I think it's a lot of people with their hands out.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a horse in the race because I've never been to Riot Fest and I'm not going to this one, although there are some cool acts. So, M, what's your opinion on the move? And B, everyone was freaking out over this lineup. Did you think it was rad or do you just think it was okay with some cool acts sprinkled in?
It was funny because when I saw the poster on Instagram, I thought it was fake. I thought they were just kind of trolling. I thought they were like, oh, well, here's bands that you've wanted us to put on the bill, so here they are.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So what other places have this, you know, and like kind of, is this real? Like doing all this fact checking and stuff. And then when it was like, oh no, like this is the actual lineup, it was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I think it's neat. I would go to this, like if I was near Chicago, I think, or Bridgeview or whatever, Illinois, I think it'd be pretty cool. Like there's lots of,
on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give this lineup?
Ooh, I would give it probably a solid 8. I'd rank her pretty high. Like there's a lot of bands that I'd really want to see, like obviously Rob Zombie because I think he'd be a lot of fun. Like Laura Jean Grace and Cat Bite, I think, would be great. Ellis Dunes put on like a killer show. Like, they're incredible. Sincere Engineer is really great. I think it's funny that like they have the full like NoFX stage where NoFX are headlining every single day kind of thing. So that's fun, and I go see that. I think that would be a blast and whatever. And with like the place that they're the stadium they're playing, it's like Riot Land, and there's all sorts of like stuff besides stages in it. Like, they're gonna have a circus, which I don't know how they're gonna do that, but like that sounds pretty cool. An arcade. There's a casino. There's something called Kevin Smith Tribute Zones, which I one of them is like something to do with Mallrats, which I think is really cool because Mallrats is the best Kevin Smith movie.
No way, Mallrats?
Mallrats is the best Kevin Smith movie.
Actually, Mallrats is one of the better ones,
Yeah.
actually. I don't know why I was so annoyed by that. It's probably my second favorite one.
Yeah. What's your first favorite,
Probably
Clerks?
Clerks, yeah.
Yeah. Again, like, it's a classic. It's not Tusk. I'm shocked. There should be a Tusk zone.
Well, I was just thinking of the View Askew universe.
That's still part of it.
It is?
I think so.
We mentioned Josh Roush on last week's episode, and we talked. I think we even had him on the show. Josh Roush, of course, is Kevin Smith's right-hand man, M.
Sorry?
Josh Roush, who we mentioned on last week's episode,
Oh, yes.
we talked about that movie. The character is Cat Owning. I forget the name of the movie though.
What's it called?
But anyways, Josh is like Kevin Smith's right-hand man.
That makes sense. What is that
What would you give the punk rock bowling lineup from this
band?
year? Wrong Reasons was the movie. There you go.
Ah, okay. The punk rock bowling lineup from this year. Let me just refresh. Oh my God, I can't spell, John. Okay, there we go. Oh yeah, because they have a lot of like really great bands.
See, I'll give Riot Fest a 7
Ooh.
out of 10.
Yeah.
If they didn't have Cat by the Dead Milkman, I'd probably give it like a 5 out of 10, frankly. Punk Rock Bowling, I'm giving a solid 8 out of 10.
I would give Punk Rock Bowling an 8.5 to possibly a 9. You know what? No, I'm giving Punk Rock Bowling a 9. Because they had a lot of really cool, like, they had Bratmobile, which just qualifies them immediately. And just like so many like really cool bands. Subhumans, Vile. Seriously, if you have Subhumans,
They were great. Anyways, let's stop talking about punk rock bowling
it.
because that's what we're talking about this episode. Let's
Yeah, it's
talk
a punk rock
about.
bowling episode.
So let's see here. What else we? Oh, one.
Surprise.
Man, we're running a long time, but that's all right.
Ah,
So
that's good.
I'll be brief on this. Is Ween? Well, actually, M. We are so on top of the news. We were literally ahead of the news because
Yeah.
late. It was about midnight or so, or 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. And Ween put out a post: "Is you can now listen to Junkie Boy by Ween." And I'm like, Junkie Boy, that's never been a release song. And I looked it up and like that's an old demo by Ween. And so we did a story that said Ween have released a new old song called Junkie Boy. It has something to do with the Chocolate and Cheese album, but who knows what? The next morning, Ween announced they are releasing a deluxe edition of Chocolate and Cheese, probably their most famous album, that or the Mollusk, which includes an entire third disc of outtakes or even studio recorded tracks from the Chocolate and Cheese era. And of course, this summer Ween is doing All of Chocolate and Cheese live in Philadelphia, and I'll be there on September 27.
Woo.
I love Ween. Ween's fantastic. I think it's so hilarious that Ween is as big as they are because they're so odd. Like it's very rare for a band this odd to become this huge, but Ween is freaking huge. At least huge in our world, you know. Not Taylor Swift huge, but
Oh.
you know, we're
Oh,
talking
a Ween
10th.
Eras tour?
I would go check that out. I would say Ween is probably about a 10,000 person draw. That's pretty big, you know? And so, I mean, and just think about that. 10,000 people at not even on average, low end, $100 a ticket. You play a show and you're making $500,000. Imagine that, Em. Imagine that.
Wild.
In one night, you make
Oh,
$500,000 in one
I'd
night.
take that. That'd be so nice.
I mean, I would, and plus, you get treated like a king, and everyone like cheers for you. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, yeah.
you could be like a rich doctor, but that's only because you've been looking at people's asses all day. You know, and it sucks at, you know, it sucks. You might be a rich attorney, but you got to deal with dirt bags all day. You're a dirt bag yourself if you're super rich. You know what I mean? If you're a rock band, you show up and play some songs, and here's $1 million, sir, in this giant bag with a money symbol on it. You know what I mean?
You make people feel good.
I know, man, being a rock band is the best. You should do it, kids.
Hell yeah, it's a great career choice.
Anyways, it turns out that Ween is releasing a deluxe edition of Chocolate and Cheese, and they're playing a special gig that I will be there. M, what do you think the deluxe edition of Chocolate and Cheese cost after shipping?
After shipping, I
After shipping.
am going to say
Three
a
LPs.
hundred, three LPs. Oh, I'm going to say 250.
Oh, actually, that's a little. No, and it was a deal at $100.
Oh, that's a steal.
And did I buy one?
Yes.
Yes, I did. And I was, I'm so tired of being a sucker. I'm so tired. But M, would you believe pre-sales sold out in like 6 hours? I didn't know a pre-sale could. I thought they would just say, "Well, keep taking orders as long as we can make." You know what I mean? Like, but it
I thought
sold
it
out in
just
like 6 hours. Like, it's crazy.
I thought it'd switch over to like wait list or something.
I
Holy,
just,
that's nuts.
it's crazy, isn't it?
People love Ween.
People do love Ween,
What
and they
can you
should,
say?
because Ween is freaking great. And so, anyways, I'm psyched on this. The new song is real cool, or quote, new song. It's very
Yeah.
weeny, and I'm sure the B-sides are going to be very weeny indeed. And in fact, Ween has proven their B-sides are excellent because the Ween unreleased tracked album, which is called Shinola Volume 1, is among their very best later day albums for sure. It's actually probably like my third or fourth favorite Ween album. So their outtakes are as good as their normal stuff, and I'm psyched. I know. And do you care about Ween, or you don't care about Ween?
Again, like I do not have an extensive Ween knowledge. What I have heard of Ween, I don't mind. I think they're good. But I've
Well,
never really dove into Ween.
talking about reissues, Sloppy Seconds is releasing their first, actually they're releasing their first record in, let's look this up while I Sloppy Seconds is releasing their first, oh no, actually that's not,
It's a comp.
they've released a few 7 inches here or there, but even those 7 inches are just like old stuff. But we
Yeah.
Sloppy Seconds is releasing their first record, even though it is a comp of outtakes, their first one in 16 years. So that's kind of cool. Before they released a few 7 inches before. So anyways, it's called, let me pull it on up here. Pull it on up. And they're also going on tour, mind you. The new Sloppy Seconds release is called Play With Your Records, Mistakes and Piss Takes Volume 1. It includes their rare cover of The Deviants, Let's Loot the Supermarket, which is cool. And I love Sloppy Seconds. I think it's real cool. I bought one right away. Oh, it's got six new tracks on it. Wow. How do you like that? Are we sure about that? Or did someone give us bad info, Em, which I would not be surprised by? I'm going to look this up right now and tell you, Em, if it's six new tracks or if someone gave us bad info. In the meantime,
I
oh.
looked this up. It should be good info.
Well, Em is nothing but, if not thorough.
I
Oh, shit.
try my best. Oh
Oh,
no, what's oh shit?
no, well, something I don't want to say while we're on the show.
Fair
I
enough.
will tell you afterwards. Oh no, this is not live. Oh wait, no.
Is it
Huh.
not right? Was there a mistake?
I take that back. I thought it was a test press for sale.
Ooh,
But it
okay.
wasn't. It was something else. Anyways, wow, it sold out anyways. How you like that, Em? I'm glad I bought one. I think I bought two.
Hey, you bought
Let's
two?
I think so. Let's see here. Let's see. What I'm seeing on side A is all old stuff. It might
Oh,
have
interesting.
one. No, not. It's got six like rare tracks, but I don't think any. Well, maybe they said they're unreleased. Let's see here. Oh, you're right. Includes six new never released tracks. Okay, fair enough. It does have six unreleased tracks. That was a long roundabout way. But I think honestly, I think they're not being totally honest. It does say that, but a couple of these songs are on a very obscure comp called Necromicon, which I think they're referring to that, honestly. But that being said,
Oh.
it looks rad. Sloppy Seconds are awesome. I'm psyched for this. I am going to see them live, and I'm psyched. I don't. And do you care about Sloppy Seconds, or you don't care about Sloppy Seconds? Have you
I
listened to
guess
their iconic first album, Destroyed?
I have not. My Sloppy Seconds knowledge is again extremely minimal.
Sloppy Seconds are freaking awesome. And next time we do an album battle, I'm going to do Sloppy Seconds Destroyed because it's freaking awesome.
I'm excited.
So yeah, well, it's actually like super. I remember looking at it at the record store for like 3 years, and I'm like, it's only $5. I'm like, fine, I'll buy it. And then I was like blown away by how good it was. Anyways, we're running long. M,
Yes.
tell us about M, Emmeline, Emily,
Ew. I will
Crossbone.
not respond to that name.
Is that your real name, Emily?
Maybe.
All right.
I try to keep an air of mystery.
Well, M, tell us about
Crossdog.
Crossdog.
Crossdog are really, really, really cool. They are an amazing band. They are out of Peterborough, Ontario, Canada, which is really very cool. And they just released a video for their new song Enemy. So the video connects to the video for the first single, which was called Hard Feelings. So Hard Feelings ends with them going or ends with all of the members of the band getting to this bar venue thing. And Tracy gets there last. She goes in, closes the door, and then there's a sign that says closed for Enemy video shoot. So, and you can see like a couple like tie-ins throughout Enemy to Hard Feelings, which is really cool. Like I love when bands do that. It's just so fun. And a lot of the stuff for this video is made up of like tour footage. There's a lot of stuff from Pooza Fest. Like they have their set, they have the Anti-Queen set, they have like just hanging out with friends, having fun. The venue they're playing in the video, I believe, is the same venue they did their album release show in, which is like a very small bar, which is really, really cool. And that show sold out. Oh my God, I don't even know. Like it sold out so fast. I think it was like 24, 48 hours. It was like just tickets were gone like that, which is great because like they're incredible. And here's a fun fact. I recently interviewed them and they were going to finish the video that day, which was really fun and just a cool little thing. But yeah, they have great energy. The music's awesome. It's like really heavy and they have elements of noise rock. And again, it's just vocals, drums, and bass, which is just incredible. And yeah, their new album is All Hard Feelings. And it is so, so good. You know, it's so nice to see like a band that's very like close, I guess, to me, like just kicking so much ass. It's so, so good to see. And they're just awesome. Like everyone should listen to Crossdog. John, what did you think?
I thought it was all right. I like the energy. Just for me, it kind of has the same issue of we mentioned the Bronx. To me, the Bronx, like the energy gets up there, but I'm never exactly sure what the song's supposed to be, and it never seems to really go to where I'm hoping it'll go. So I think it's all right. I think the songs might not be as long, might not need to be as long as they are, but I think it's a good start. So yeah.
That's interesting because their most re or not the most recent, but the album they released before this has like really cool, like longer, like kind of more jammy stuff, which is really neat. And they worked with Scott Middleton, who used to be in Cancer Bats, which is really cool too.
See,
And he kind of did this.
I would accuse Cancer Bats of having the same issue, and that the songs start up,
Oh.
but they don't like really go anywhere, you know? And like a great
Interesting.
example is Motorhead. Well, actually, no, Motorhead songs do go somewhere, but they're all like 90 seconds long, you know? So,
I disagree with you.
fair enough. How about this though, Emma? Give me your opinion on this. Jesse Sendejas of Days and Days is
Oh,
going on
yes.
tour, but he's going on tour as Jesse Sendejas plays Days and Days with members of Days and Days. I've got opinions on this, and I think there. I think I might be. I mean, I don't know, but I think I can see what's going on behind the scenes. M,
Yeah.
what do you think is going on here? And what's your opinion of an artist doing his main band's or hers main band songs, but with a solo band? What's your opinion of that?
I think an artist doing songs from bands they've been in solo is really cool because those are the songs that they've written, and you know, it's usually they perform them or present them in a different way, which I think is really, really rad. When it's you're playing songs from your band, but you're playing songs with your band members, but you're not calling it the band, and we're not sure who the lineup is, that's where things get very confusing and very like what's going on here? Is there infighting? Has there been
You think?
problems?
You think?
I baseless speculation. I'm going off like maybe things aren't all okay, but
Really?
again, it's hard to know for sure, you know? Also, when I saw the title, I thought it meant like Dungeons and Dragons.
A lot of people did.
Yeah,
But
so
technically, isn't D and D D ampersand D, not D and D?
if you're writing it over text, it's DND.
Do you find yourself running Dungeons Dragons over text a lot, Em?
A fair amount.
Are you the dungeon master or are you a character, Em?
Right now, I am a character.
What are you?
Well, I mean, I have several, but this one hasn't been used yet, so I think I'm gonna talk about it. Its name's Frog, and is a frog rogue.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
So I have a whole backstory with that one.
Is your setting just like classic D&D, or is like a setting something special?
For Frog, it's gonna be something special because that's a different thing, but usually it's like D&D with twists.
What's the twist?
It kind of just depends.
Well, give
There
me
was
one
one
twist,
that was
Em.
like
Why are you being so mysterious, Em?
that's my whole thing, that's my brand. No, there was one that was like kind of Middle Earth themed sort of thing, so it was like that but kind of futuristic. If that makes, I don't know how to describe it properly. I don't know. It was a cool little like fun adventure thing that had a bunch of like fantasy things with a bunch of like gadgets, which was really cool.
You mean steampunk, Em? Are you embarrassed to say that you're involved in steampunk? Is that what it is?
Steampunk, it was more lasers and
Sounds like
stuff.
steampunk to me.
It was like Lord of the Rings meets Dungeons and Dragons meets Star Trek.
But isn't Lord of the Rings just Dungeons and Dragons? Like, what's the difference between Lord of the Rings and
No.
Dungeons and Dragons?
Lord of the Rings is very much a different thing.
See,
There's.
I think Dungeons and Dragons is just Gary Gygax wanting to play Lord of the Rings, so we invent something that's just Lord of the Rings.
I think there's differences.
What are the differences? Orcs, gnomes, hobbits,
Well, there's no
fairies,
hobbits.
elves. Yeah, they're called gnomes.
No, they're different. Gnomes and hobbits are not the same thing.
Gnomes and hobbits are identical.
They are not. They have distinct cultural differences.
Well, anyway, speaking of distinct cultural differences. With D&D, I think it's pretty clear what's going on. However, I would, and this is based on speculation, I think Jesse doesn't even really want to tour as Jesse Lives Days and Days, because if you read his statement, this is what he says: "Hey y'all, gonna be hitting the road to play a couple shows around the Midwest East Coast next month. Gonna play a few tunes from all my projects." That is, he's not saying I'm going to be playing Days and Days. He's saying all my projects. So I think this might be the promoter saying, you know what? We'll sell more tickets if you say you playing Days and Days. So we're going to call it that. And but he's saying, well, actually, I'm just doing the more traditional solo stuff where I just do all my stuff. You know what I mean? I think that's what's going on. But I love it. I absolutely love it when artists do solo full band of their main band, like Joe Jack Talcum, the band of Dead Milkmen. Peter Murphy does Bauhaus. Hugh Cornwell does All Stranglers. I love when bands do that because it does have a different texture, particularly with both. Well, Joe Jack, sometimes he'll play stuff like super punk. Sometimes he'll do stuff kind of like folky. Like you never know what you're going to get. With Peter Murphy, he does Bauhaus, but like faster, and I want to say punkier, like looser, raw. And in a way, it's kind of better than Bauhaus because it's more raw and live. Bauhaus plays to a click track. Peter Murphy, I think, does not. And so you kind of get a more visceral experience. So I wouldn't say one is better than the other, but I would say when you see a solo guy with a band do his main band stuff, it can be a lot of fun and particularly spicy. So I really enjoy that a lot. So, I mean, if you're a Days fan, I think you probably should go to this. I think you'll probably have a great time, to tell you the truth.
Are you a Days and Days fan?
No. But listen, I don't begrudge people that are,
For sure.
Okay. Well, right. Oh, here, I am a Sublime fan, though, Em, so let's talk about Sublime. I'm
Yes.
now that there's like 19 versions of Sublime, I'm a fan of certain versions of Sublime, not other
19.
versions.
I wonder why.
Oh, well, and that's gotten even wackier. I meant to tell you before we start, that's got kind of wacky too. But anyways, so
Ooh.
Sublime, is this
Sublime.
Original Sublime or is this new Sublime? How do we characterize this Sublime?
New Sublime, I
New
guess.
Sublime, as opposed to Sublime with Rome, but no members of Sublime.
I
So new Sublime,
think new Sublime.
which is Bud and Eric of original Sublime or Sublime Classic, with what's his name? Wilson. What's his name, Em? Wilson. The kid, Jake. Oh, Jacob Nowell. I'm sorry, Jacob
Where did you get
Nowell.
Wilson?
Eric Wilson is one of the Eric
Oh,
Wilson and Bud Gow are the two original Sublime members.
there we go.
Jacob Nowell is the
Yes.
son of Brad of Sublime, and now he's the singer. And new Sublime have really who's Stick Figure?
Stick Figure is, from what I could tell, is a band on like unto themselves, and they just it's just the lead singer of the band who's on the track.
Why did rise? That's why this is so confusing. So
But
they've released
again, I don't really know.
a new track called Sublime and Stick Figure playing a song called Feel Like That, featuring Bradley Nowell. We say, John, how could they feature Bradley Nowell? He died 30 years ago. And the answer is they just sampled his voice. That's all they did. They
From an old demo.
from an old demo. And I you want me to give you my opinion, or do you want to give your opinion first of this new track?
Kick her off.
I think he's not that great. I loved hearing Bradley Nowell, but this whole thing is like you can definitely tell it's just a sample and not even a really good sample at that. And that like the song sounds like it's underwater. It's very muddy. It's mixed in a weird fashion, and that it's hard to kind of hear who's actually singing and what's going on. And
Yeah.
plus, there's like no real song. Like the wonderful thing about Sublime, especially Bradley Nowell, is he's so good at writing a song. I don't practice Santeria. I don't have no crystal ball. I had $1 million, but I spent it all. Like it's very much a song. I know exactly what the song is.
Yeah.
Or down at the pawn shop. It is a brand new way to shop that, even though that song's actually a rip-off of a Wailing Soul song, which I think is cool too. Check out a song by Wailing Souls, War Round Job, no, War Round John Shop. But Bradley Nowell was exceptionally good at writing memorable songs that stick in your head, Lovin', that's what I got. Say, remember that, it's very sing-songy. This song, I listened to the song. And then right after it was over, he say, "John, sing a line from it." I couldn't. You know what I mean? I just listened to the whole like, I feel like it's one of these songs where there's a million producers in the mix, and you just get this kind of muddy jumble. It's not bad, but it's dough. What do you think, Em?
I agree with the mixing. Like, it is very muddy, and like everything seems to be decent except for the vocals, I guess, because it's really hard to tell who's singing. It's hard to get some of the lyrics at different points. And yeah, I didn't, to be completely honest, I didn't have high expectations for this. So it was better than I thought it was going to be. I probably won't listen to it regularly, but like the instrumentation sounded really cool. It was neat, like the idea to have like to use Bradley Nowell's voice like along with his son. Like that's a really nice touch, and that's really cool. But yeah, they could have they could have done it a lot better than they did, especially to be like, hey, we're back and we're touring and we're doing these things and whatever, or we're playing festivals, I guess, not necessarily touring. But like for your first new song in 28 years, I kind of thought it would be a little bit more punchy.
Punchy,
Yeah.
yeah.
Hey. I also thought the song was too long.
You would think that after 28 years they'd be like, you know what, let's sit. This is our first song after 28 years. You know, we got to nail it out of the park. You think they'd say, let's come up with a hook and then go
Yeah.
from there? But it seems like it was the exact opposite. They just pile production on top of production, and they're like, yeah, I guess it's done. You know, like. You would really think they'd like say, let's get a punchy song. And the other hand, Deb, the fact that they couldn't after 28 years, what does that suggest?
Unless this is just the first song, Jitters.
Well, except, you know,
Probably not.
I had such high hopes because I did love that Jacob Noel song, Time Traveler. I'm like, yeah,
Oh,
I'm all in on New Sublime. And then
yeah.
after that, like everything has just been. Eh, you know, I was so
Yeah.
excited, Em, and my excitement is washed away. It's washed away, Em. I'll never get to see original Sublime, Em. Never.
Just videos.
Woe is me, Em. Sure, there's kids starving in Africa. Sure, there's children being machine gunned down in Mexico and Colombia. Sure, there's children in sweatshops in Pakistan, but I'll never get to see them Sublime, Em. Feel sorry for me.
It's a real tragedy right there.
At least I have so many other CDs.
Heck
Anyways,
yeah.
and
Oh
let's wrap this up with Effed Up. Tell us about Effed Up.
yeah. So they are going to release a new album called Another Day, haha, because their previous one was One Day, get it? I thought it was clever. I liked it. And they've also released a video for their new song called Stimming. So this song is age restricted on YouTube because the band's name has fuck in it. The video is a pleasant little thing.
Oh, is
There's
that why it was age
absolutely nothing.
restricted? I was like,
Yep.
why is this age restricted? Yeah.
Nope, it's just age restricted because the name of the band's fucked up. Like that's
Oh.
literally it. The video is like there's lots of nature imagery. It's really fun. There's lots of like kind of like people like or not people, but like the band members doing like kind of stimming things, like they're playing on stuff or they're tapping on rocks or you know, like they're pretending like rope is like guitar strings. It's intercut with studio footage, it's intercut with live footage, it's intercut with three people. I have their names written down. Tamsin M. Leach, who plays with Jonah Falco and Mike Halachek in Jade Hairpins, Lee Arthur and Liv Franchini, who are like outside and they're kind of frolicking and they're like running around or they're in a circle kind of running around and stuff. Drums disappear and reappear, and it's just a really fun video. Like that's all it is. It's just very, very fun. But YouTube is really stupid. And they're like, oh no, it says fucked up. It must be really, really bad. YouTube has gone downhill. This is my mini rant in the past like few years. They're age restricting stuff that does not need to be age restricted, like this video. Their ad system has gotten completely like way too much. It's so stupid. Anyways, the song's very good. Damien sounds great. There's like some really mathy parts, which are really fun. There's a lot of distortion, especially near the end, which I love. And I'm really excited for this album. I wasn't, One Day was just okay, but it didn't really wow me. And this
Agreed.
single like gives me hope for another day to be like, oh yeah, this is gonna be like fucked up, kind of on form sort of thing. What did you think of it?
I thought it was cool. I did think it explains a lot that the track is called Stimming and the lyrics are Halachuk instead of Damien Abraham, which explains a lot. I thought it was cool. I mean, I love Effed Up. It's one of my favorite bands of all time. I like their super punk stuff and their super far out stuff. Within the past 10 years, they've kind of reserved, I guess, their more college rock, less challenging stuff for the albums, which is cool. And so, honestly, like Effed Up is one of these cool bands, very much like Psychic TV or Frank Zappa, and I'm sure Halechuk would shirk at all these examples, and I'm glad. Or e even like I'm trying to think who else might be kind of similar. Well, Zap and Psychic TV are great examples. That, like, there's so much stuff and it's always coming out that you don't have to love everything. And by not ha not like like when the Rolling Stones put out a new album, because they only do one every like 15 years now, if it sucks, you're like, oh, you know. But luckily the new Rolling Stones album is real good. But with effed up is if they put out something that you're not blown away by with, you can still dig it because there's so much material and so much of so good. It's like maybe it'll come around and you'll dig it. You know what I mean? And it's just fun to get a massive influx of content from a band constantly that isn't junk content. Like some bands just spit out junk, you know, and you're like, oh great, another album that sounds exactly like all their other albums that is crap. But that's not what Effed Up does. And so I thought the song was cool. I like the Zodiacs more and the punk stuff more, but I dig this and I like how Effed Up has many facets. And I'm going to see them twice in a span of like 3 days, like next month. I'm
Ooh,
going to see them in
nice.
Philadelphia, and then I'm going to see them do the second to last off show in New York City. And so, yeah, man, Effed Up is real cool. They're rad. And that's that, man. That's that.
They're so good. Hell yeah. Fucked up.
And what is your favorite effed up release? Your top three. Pick your top
Ooh,
three.
my top three.
I'll do
That's
my
hard.
top three while you're waiting.
Ooh,
I
yeah.
gotta say, the newest Oberon record is amazing.
Oh,
I'm putting
that
that
was
there.
good.
I'm saying, actually, I'm gonna do like top five. I can't do top three. Year of the Dragon, I friggin' love. Year of the Pig, which was kind of one of their first cosmic leaps, I friggin' love. The Police 7-inch, you gotta love, you know?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to say Chemistry Common Life, what I think is the best album.
Okay. Very, very interesting.
It's crazy that the Effed Up is approaching year 25. If Effed Up was the Rolling Stones, for them it would be Steel Wheels. How crazy is that?
Hey, that means they have a lot more coming up.
That's true. That means they got 40 more years. If Effed Up was, let's say, Aerosmith, this would be their Nine Lives album, the album with Pink on it. Terrible song. If and I'll do one more. If
Yes.
Effed Up was, let me think, who else? If Effed Up was, let me think of a good one. Green Day, M.
Yes.
This would be their what's after American Idiot?
I think it's 21st Century Breakdown.
21st Century Breakdown. That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
That is wild. Absolutely wild. I'm just going to make sure I have that Green Day one right. Heck yeah, I do.
So what are your top five then?
My top five. I have Hidden World.
I bought that record, M, from Damien Abraham himself. I went to see Effed
Ooh.
Up.
Nice.
I went to see Effed Up at the Hemlock Tavern in San Francisco, and this was right when Effed Up was really starting to pop. I mean, Effed Up popped locally when they were putting out all those mysterious 7-inches. Then on a
Yeah.
national scale, they popped between Hidden Life and ChemCom, and I went to see them at the Hemlock Tavern right before they super popped. And I got there super early because I used to get the show super early because I'm stupid. And Damien was sitting at the bar, but I didn't know that was Damien. I just thought it was some guy, so I'm talking to him. And then right before the gig starts, I bought ChemCom the album from him. And I'm like, oh wow, you're the guy. And then I walked to my car and I dropped it and I chipped a piece out of it. And then I came back and watched the really cool show. And then at the end of the show, they were selling the 7-inch versions of Year of the Pig. And some guy in front of me got the last like Japanese one, and I was really annoyed at the guy, M, but I got it later on. And
Maybe you
Sandy
got
sold
that
that.
version.
And Sandy was selling that, FYI.
Oh, that's so cool. You met a good portion of the band.
I've interviewed every member of Effed Up except Josh.
Get about the podcast.
We could. I've interviewed Damien a couple of times, Mike a couple of times, and he's always angry. I've interviewed Sandy, who's super cool. Ben Cook, who's not in the band anymore. He's
Yeah.
always kind of, he's actually a super nice guy, even though he's mysterious. I've interviewed Jonah Falco, who's just kind of a chill guy, although you can tell that he's kind of cocky, which I like. So the only member that I haven't interviewed is Josh.
We must track him down.
So, Em, what are your top five? You said Hidden
Okay.
World.
I have Hidden World. I have Year of the Dragon. Whoops. I have Dose Your Dreams. Because
Good
that
choice.
one is really good. Cops, because, like, you gotta. And then, ooh.
Cops or police? Do you mean cops, the self-referencing record from 20 years after Police, or do you mean Police, the original breakout single?
Cops, the follow-up.
That's Ricky Frankel's former Punk News editor's favorite effed up 7-inch.
I can see why. It's very good.
It is good.
And then, oh God, I don't know. David Comes to Life. But I need to give special shout out to the covers they did with the Hallucination, Electroshock, and John Wayne Was a Nazi, because I have listened to those an unholy amount of times.
They never
They're
put those
really
on
good.
vinyl. They never put those on vinyl, did they?
I don't think so. I think they're just on Bandcamp
They ought to
or
put them
like
on
just
vinyl.
digitally.
See, this is why effed up can be infuriating. Is there's like two or three effed up mixtapes now that are digital only. Just put them on tape so knuckleheads like me can buy them. And then the John Wayne Was a Nazi cover, which is like electronic, was super cool. And they never put that on a 7-inch either. Just put it on a 7-inch. It'll sell. Like, what's the hold up, boys? You know?
I want them to do more with the Hallucination. So bad.
Well, there you go. And any closing words for the listeners?
Oh, next week is going to be really big. I have three interviews coming. Well, one's two parts, but like they're all going to be in a row. So that was not my original plan. That's just how things worked out. So keep an eye peeled, guys. There's exciting shit coming.
Well, there you have it, and we will see you next week.